It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing in the entire New York and New Jersey metro area and worldwide at MYBRadio.com. And, of course, on the 77 WABC app. Yes, thank you, New York. Week in and week out, I mentioned this to you, but hey, it's a big deal. We're in the top 10 in New York AM radio. I checked the ratings recently. Again, we were number 5. All right, you know, a couple months ago, we came in number 3. Great. Number 5, we'll take it, out of roughly 30, 40 stations. That's pretty cool. And again, the thank you goes to you, the great listeners of this show. And as you know, every single week, we come to you with such a plethora. Is that the right word, Richard?
Yes, it's an SAT
a
word.
wide range of topics and categories and industries that represent the business world and the listeners of the show. You know, the listeners will throughout, right, their career touch on different areas, whether it involves sales, customer service, emerging technologies, real estate, strategic planning, financial planning, marketing and advertising, time management, customer retention, and so many other categories that affects everyone in the business world today. And therefore, that's why we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition, where I'm going to have on none other than, once again, Richard Solomon, and to have his sage advice. And the topic is none other than, am I actually making money? What an important topic. Every small business deals with this. Every medium-sized business deals with this. And I'm going to get back to it in a moment. But first, I want to make sure to give the appropriate thank yous. A special thank you to the entire team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, in particular, Cirilli, Michal, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, and to the entire team here at Bottom Line, as mentioned, who play such an important support role for the show. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin. Also a shout out to the various channels where our material has been featured, C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, B-Tank Magazine, Mishpacha Magazine, The Jewish Home. We're on the, you can find us on Spotify, Player.fm, iTunes, YouTube. And all episodes are available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. A special thank you to last week's guest, the noted fashion design icon, Joseph Aboud. And by the way, in case you're wondering, some of the guests, just to name drop a little bit of the material that we've had on the show, which was featured based on interviews I've had with Beth Comstock, the former vice chair and CMO at GE, John Sculley, former CEO at Apple and Pepsi, Dr. Adrian Boise, the chief experience officer at Cleveland Clinic. The list goes on and on. Over 200 interviews have been featured on this channel. And, what can I tell you? It's a virtual university. Many of the episodes have been videoed as well, and there's a popular YouTube channel. But to access each guest, the easiest way is to go to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's guest, the noted attorney and business consultant and public speaker, Richard Solomon. Richard, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you once again for the honor of sharing the microphone with you and being a part of such distinguished alumni.
Thank you.
Shared the radio with you over the past several hundred shows.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, to open this week's show, I'd like to do it in the following way. This past week, here's a Wall Street Journal column showing it for anyone that's watching it on video. Okay, the Wall Street Journal had a cover mention about a story. Sorry about that. Cover mention here in the business B1 section. New York's World Trade Center complex loses money amid costs for security. Okay, now I'm going to go to the B section. Towering costs put Trade Center in the red. Now, I said to myself, wait a second. You know, these are major companies that have very, very bright minds, you know, in the C-suite. And they planned this out. They charted this out. And I said, wait a second. You know, medium-sized businesses, small businesses, deal with the same issue. Okay, it's maybe a macro level on a micro level. They're different ways. there's a difference if there's a B behind the one, or if there's an M behind the one, or if it's even just 100,000, 200,000. But at the end of the day, every single business has to have some process in place in order to make sure that they're actually making money. And that's why I reached out to Richard, who has so much experience in really representing so many different types of industries. So, Richard, I'm going to throw it open to you. What we want to discuss in tonight's show is, at the end of the day, what are the processes, what are the mile markers, the dashboard, if you will, the concepts, everything involved in really making sure that whatever type of business I'm in, it's really generating revenue. It's not just turning over money, but it's actually making a profit.
Sadly, a lot of businesses don't really do the planning from a nuts and bolts financial basis. A lot of times I'm asked by a potential client or a client, I need help with collections. And then when you really dive into it, while collections is the tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. because you always want your receivables to be turned over fast, mm-hmm. collected, because revenue is the lifeblood of every business.
That's right.
But what ends up happening, though, is people haven't really looked at all of the costs. I actually made a little list.
Sure.
And, for example, let's say you're an architect, a CPA, attorney, or consultant.
Mm-hmm.
These are the general kinds of costs that you would come across. There's your rent, all the different kinds of insurance you need, health, premise, general liability, malpractice, utilities, licenses. You have to maintain your license. If you have one, equipment, professional associations, taxes, unemployment insurance, workers' comp insurance, transportation, getting from here to there. Sometimes that involves airplanes and hotels, which right. are bigger ticket items for right. trade shows, workers' comp, transportation, marketing, right? Marketing.
Right. That's
very
right.
important.
That's,
marketing.
That's a cost.
right? Advertising, see, again. Events, trade shows, mm-hmm. Professional education, because you always need to keep up with whether it's current trends or laws mm-hmm. or things in your industry,
right.
or learning about competitive analysis issues, things involving vehicles, whether you own them. There's always corporate sure. vehicles, trucks, things involving the internet, domains, websites. Mm-hmm. That all costs money. Attorneys, accountants, outside consultants and vendors, labor like employees, repairs, and the one thing that everybody forgets is your own salary. You have to put that in there too. So, right? Right? Because, many times the owner is the last person to pay themselves.
Right.
But you have to figure out when you cost everything out. I'm not an accountant, but I just see this as a lawyer. So mm-hmm. you're getting the legal perspective. But when you sit down with someone, you say, well, what are all the costs? Like, let's say you're going to put together like a puppet theater for little children. Mm-hmm. Great idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's entertaining. What's your ticket cost going to be? You can't really just say, well,
off the block.
Right. It's
$18.50. Right. So I'll charge $17.50.
Right. I'll save them the 50 cents. But but the thing is, what does it cost? So like, let's say you bill by the hour because you're a professional,
mm-hmm.
architect, engineer.
Right.
CPA.
Let's say they're $250 an hour, whatever.
Right, but what is the $250 actually a profitable number? Because let's say you have to go through an exercise. So you take all these costs, and then you have to ask a question mathematically: how many hours am I going to work a year, and how many can I collect? So let's just use raw numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You have X dollars in expenses, and then you're going to bill 2,500 hours. You're going to be just working all the time. Well, then how much are you going to write off? Because these are friends, or the people you're dealing with don't have money, or they're financially distressed, or involuntary things like bankruptcy where the client gets wiped out. So let's say you could only collect on 1,800 hours, realistically.
Okay.
All right. Well, what is the amount? And then, you have to take all of these numbers, right? And then put it into that 1,800 hours, and assuming you're going to collect that. It's always, you always have to have very conservative numbers, not, pie in the sky. You got to really look out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask yourself, what does that come to? Because if you calculate that you really need to be making $285.50 per hour to cover all of these fixed expenses, then, and you're charging $250, you're actually losing money every hour that you work.
Right.
And then there's also the unanticipated expenses, the big repair, the I don't know, you need to change an HVAC or something that's a very big cost item, or you've been delayed for a couple months because you had some surgery and you can't really run things while you're recuperating, or you have key people who are out for one reason or another, family issues, someone in the family is not necessarily doing well, they need to be put into assisted living or something like that, and they're drawn away from the business. You have to account for all these contingencies. So when you look at the numbers, you got to ask yourself, what are all of the items that need to be accounted for? What are the variables that I should be prepared for? And even if they don't come to fruition, I could still put them in the rainy day fund, right? And then you draw upon that when the rainy days really do arrive. And then that gets reflected either in your ticket price, your book price, your DVD price, your download price, whatever it is. You know, keeping in mind what other people are charging. And you also have to ask yourself, am I going to be another bagel store or deli in an area that's saturated with these kinds of businesses? You know, you may have the better pizza formula, you may have the better sandwich, but at some point there are saturations in area. I'm amazed sometimes I look in neighborhoods and there's like a deli every four blocks. And it's like, do we really need that many similar businesses? Mm-hmm. You know, if anything, you want to look to see if you're complementary to, if you're in the retail business, if you're complementary to.
So the last point you bring up is really when a business has an idea, or when someone has an idea for founding a business and they're looking at a certain area, region, that's where your point would come up. But I want to come back to what you were talking about originally, and that is having every business, whether it's before they launch or while they're flying the plane, to look at soft cost and hard cost, every single aspect. The fact that someone comes to clean the fish tank, or the Con Ed bill, or whatever the case is, the Verizon, every single thing has to be factored in. It's not just the line items that you look at, payroll and marketing, et cetera, but all the soft costs. As you mentioned, you have so many great points, besides utilities, rent, insurance, travel, CPAs, repairs, all that has to be factored in.
You know, what's interesting is there are many people who own businesses and they're writing checks all day long. Mm-hmm. Every day there's a check for something, parking tickets, whatever it is. But they don't necessarily pause and look at all the numbers and see where they're spending. And you'd be surprised. If you look at like how much you spend on just gasoline in a year, you think of it as like maybe $40, $50 at each time you go to the pump. But at the end of the year, it's like maybe $2,500. Mm-hmm. And I spend that much money in gas? Right. And then
You don't factor it in because every time you go to the pump, it's only, $40, $50. So like, okay, I'm just, that's swallowed in. That's right. Just in the air, in the cloud. No, it's not. It's part of your
existence. Yes.
It's part of your existence and has to be factored in to the cost of, turning the key in the door.
Right. Yeah. And one of the questions I ask is, how much does it cost to have your business closed per day? You're not making any money. It's just you're paying for the lights off and the insurance on the place. Mm. Because there are going to be times when you're not working 24 hours a day. And is your income, your revenue, really covering everything, including the days that you're not making money? And I have to sit down with a lot of different businesses and say, could we get your financial advisors, whether they're CPAs or bookkeepers or whatever, and could we actually like start running some numbers? And then a lot of times the ultimate conclusion is you're not capturing enough of your costs in your sales pricing. And then because your collections are a little bit less than what you think they should be, you're running into a deficit spending spiral. And then when it becomes very critical, you almost see a death spiral in the business, in which you can't climb up because the answer is, well, we'll just borrow money and maybe cut expenses. But if it costs you $285 an hour to be a consultant and you're billing $250 an hour, you're still losing $35 an hour. And I hear a lot of people say, well, I need the business. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't need losing business. You probably need to raise your rates a little bit. Yeah, but I'll lose clients. But if you're losing, any business that's not making money, the IRS, not me, the IRS says you're a hobby, right? It's called the hobby loss rule. I learned about this in law school. You have a horse farm. and you feed the horses, you take good care of them, you groom them, you give them oats, the finest apples, water, and you're making no money because there's no money in just raising horses, you know, right? And it's a great effort, and but the IRS will say, you know that horse thing you got, Rich Solomon? Yeah, it's not a business. It's a hobby. You can't deduct the food and the labor to clean the horses. And now that's a hobby. You know, they want to see businesses that are in business for money, making money. Mm-hmm. And anything short of that is considered a hobby to the IRS. And if the IRS considers it a hobby, then it really is.
My guest this evening is none other than Richard Solomon. And tonight's show is all about these five simple words. Am I actually making money? This is such an important show. And again, it was inspired. I see here the, I'm holding in my hands, the Wall Street Journal article about the World Trade Center. You know, here it is, a story on the business and finance section, the first page, towering costs put Trade Center in the red. And I'm saying to myself, hey, you know, every business really needs to take a lesson from this important story. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com. where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening, Richard Solomon, the noted attorney, public speaker, business consultant. Richard, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
And radio host.
That's right, radio. How can I forget? He's my partner on FM.
Exactly.
Richard, by the way, how can people get in touch with you, find out more about the Solomon Channel? Please share that.
Well, my radio platform is thesolomonchannel.com.
What a great name.
S-O-L-O-M-O-N. thesolomonchannel.com.
Okay.
And during business hours, if anyone wants to make a phone call to the office, it's 516-371-4924. But thesolomonchannel.com is a great way to get me. And we have all kinds of platforms and radio shows and YouTube and podcasts and all that great stuff.
But I remember in the past you told me why you added your phone number with business hours. Now, very interesting, because you would think that, like, okay, you know, let's say someone wanted to call now. Now it's around, let's say, 10:20 at night. Why wouldn't you have people calling and leaving a voicemail? And you imagine, as an attorney, you know, someone said, oh, I left you a message. Wait, I want you in court tomorrow morning.
it's so funny. It's like someone applies for an emergency injunction.
All right.
So they do is they call you at like 11:59 and they'll say, you need to be in court tomorrow. I filed an injunction against your client. Be there. And they hang up. And then what happens is they go to court at 9:01 or whatever, 9:31.
I didn't see him there. Your attorney wasn't there.
And the judge says, did you notify opposing counsel? I left him a message last night. So my antidote to that is you couldn't have done that but now they just like do emails.
Yeah.
So they leave the midnight email. I'll say, well, look, I didn't look at it. You know, I was busy being on the radio.
That's a good excuse. Well, Richard, getting back to tonight's subject, the all too important subject, is my business actually generating revenue? Now, how would you address B2B versus B2C? B2B is an attorney, an accounting firm, a business that services other businesses, versus a grocery store, a toy store, a clothing store, an entity that services consumers directly through the sale of many thousands of individual products.
Essentially, the analysis is mostly the same. Hmm. You know, your costs are whatever your costs are. The challenges depend on the industry. So if you're in retail, like the grocery store, for mm-hmm. example, you're going to have spoilage. You're going to have, the milk will go bad or things will not, you have to lower your prices because the bananas aren't moving and they're getting a little yellow to overripe.
Right,
so now instead of the bananas being, 50 cents a pound, they got to go to 15 cents a pound because you have to move them.
Right.
You have to factor all that in because ultimately you have to know your business. You have to know the ebb and flow of your business. What are the slow months? What are the pressures from competitive forces? One of the things that we were talking about during the break is that business is not necessarily truly local the way it used to be. It's truly a global marketplace. Now, yes, if you want a sandwich,
that's truly local.
Right. But let's say accounting and legal services.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not local anymore. You can go on the internet and you can have certain kinds of CPA services offshore done overnight, for example, by people who are licensed. For example, I once received a letter in the mail mm-hmm. that said, we will do your legal work for $50 an hour offshore while you're sleeping. And it was all these people who are New York licensed attorneys mm-hmm. offshore, and they said, we'll do the work and you charge the client. I'm like, well, that's not really how I work. But I see that what the message was, there are plenty of competitive pressures out there. So it's not that Joe and Mike and Tony or the guys that are down the street from you and Estelle and Sandy and, Mary, and that's your neighborhood of lawyers, and they're all sort of like taking care of the local merchants. Now all of us have to worry about...
That's right, these overseas threats.
Yes, because we can't afford to be as inexpensive as they are because their cost structure is
so
much less.
Yeah.
But that's what you're competing against. And now I read in the legal trade papers how some things are done offshore and that corporations and businesses are using some of that to defray some of their costs and or to get better rates from the people who are local. So that becomes a tremendous force on what can you charge. And then you have to ask yourself, do I limit certain kinds of work? If it's not profitable to do these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I don't really do traffic tickets
mm-hmm.
because that's not what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do truck regulation fines that are criminal court for some kinds of corporate businesses because it kind of makes sense given what I do. But to go to this place, for 4 hours and then this place for another, with traffic, 5 hours for a couple of tickets here and there, on things that are mostly very tough to litigate, right. It's not financially right. worthwhile. So you have to ask yourself, what are the lines of business that will actually make sense, that have resistance to competitive pressures, global pressures? Mm-hmm. Because remember, it is cost and it is revenue. And you have to make sure that your revenue is sustainable. And then, we talk about this all the time. You don't necessarily want to be in the 8-track tape business right now.
Now, many people in the audience are wondering, 8-track, what is that?
You know, but I know that vinyl's making a comeback, but do you really want to put together, are you really going to put that vinyl factory in the basement and say, I'm going to make a killing? Because, the economy is moving and technology is moving so fast.
Right.
And I actually see how certain changes, either in the law or technology, is really threatening existing businesses. Mm-hmm. For example, right now, New York City, real estate has been put under some kind of pressures due to some of the current changes in the law.
Right.
And it's made it harder for landowners
to
recapture renovation costs and this and that. That's a whole political thing I want to get into. Yeah. But what was true, let's say, 5 months ago.
Is not true today.
Right, which was the reality of how you ran your business and planned it.
Overnight, it became a different landscape.
Right, and your businesses have to have the flexibility to withstand, wide sweeping changes. All of a sudden they say minimum wage is $15 an hour, it's 20 or whatever it is. You have to be able to withstand that. And there are a lot of things that are happening out there between, very big technologies that are putting pressure on the mom and pop stores. There are offshore things like services, because people never thought that services could be offshored. It was always, they're going to make the widget somewhere else, just a lot cheaper.
Right. They'll produce it in China. So as far as manufacturing, B2C, that doesn't affect me. But as far as a business, I'm safe. But that's not the case.
Right. And then there's also the replacement of labor with sort of automation.
Right, AI.
Yeah, there's AI, there's robots, all these things are happening. The driverless car is going to really shake the world when it hits, because think about it. Think of all the people who are in the transportation business as truck drivers, bus drivers, cab drivers, this and that. And then one of the questions that the automobile industry has is, will we need to make as many vehicles if the trend forecast is that people are not going to really own cars in the future? They're going to go to their cell phone, they're going to pop in some kind of code, a driverless car will come up, they're going to hop in, they're going to go somewhere, and then when they get there, see you later, and the car goes to the next destination.
Right.
So technology, the competitive pressures are all things that need to be sort of anticipated. One way to deal with that is to know your trade and industry, go to the trade shows, read the trade papers, be part of the professional associations, listen to shows like this where people are talking about trends, forecasts, all the issues, the financial papers, so that you're at least ahead of the curve or at least on top of the wave, so that when the surf crashes, you don't get wiped out. You can just ride it out.
My guest this evening is none other than Richard Solomon, and our subject is, am I actually making money? Talking from the business sense, in order to make sure that your company is financially stable and generating revenue. And of course, it can't just be that, I'm sure we're doing well, money's coming in, but actually looking at the spreadsheets and the dollars and cents in order to ensure that you are actually making a profit. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Sol, Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Sol, Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Sol, Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. Yep. my partner here tonight is Richard Solomon, who's coming over from the FM wavelength. Thank you for joining me here again on Mind Your Business. Well, tonight's show is all about, am I actually making money? What an important topic. I mean, at the end of the day, right, the name of this show is Mind Your Business, right? So it's all about minding your business. And one of the key functions... the only function really of a business is to make sure that you're generating revenue. And so many business, I mean, this subject comes up all the time where people are like, you know, I'm spinning my wheels, I'm working really hard, but I'm not really generating revenue. And that's why we have Richard on. In case you're just tuning in, by Tuesday morning, this entire episode will be up on the, and the easiest way to access it is by going to mybradio.com. MYBradio.com, and it will be up on all the different channels, iTunes, Spotify, Player.fm, so many different ways of accessing this entire show. Richard, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's actually an honor to be here.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure having you
and always fun.
Having the people appreciate it. Thank you. And listening to you and hearing from your sage advice that you...
A lot of wars.
Yeah.
A lot of battles.
Well, let's jump right into your primary area of strength, especially when it comes to this subject of macroeconomics for small business, and that is collection dynamics. You know, unfortunately, collections is the nature of the beast. There are times when collections have to do with people that you trust and you have a good feeling you will be able to collect. Then there are other times when the person you're dealing with fell on bad times. How do you deal with that? Then there are other times when it's they're playing games. How should you deal with them? Perhaps you could really give good direct advice how a company should deal in all these different situations regarding collections.
Probably the biggest topic that comes up in discussions in forming and sustaining businesses or even selling them is the issue of collections. And collections is the most unpleasant topic. Everybody wants to create. Everybody wants to sell. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be energized. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants websites, new content, being on the radio. But the least pleasant thing is collections, because you're dealing with sort of the nasty part of business in the sense that you have to confront people, you have to pressure them, you have to be on them, and people don't really have that in as their nature. They're not, you know, mm-hmm. what you really want to do is you want to send out an invoice and you want it paid.
Right.
But then to do the follow-up calls and to not get your phone calls answered and to, you know, step it up and write stronger letters, it becomes a whole process. Mm-hmm. And people feel like, you know, I'm chasing, you know, I'm using good money to chase money that's questionable.
Right. And then they're using their precious energy that they have from being pulled away from going after new business instead going after money that they hope to get.
Right. And I talked to, over the decades and decades of practice, I can't tell you how many receivable managers and credit people I've talked to and sat down with. And, you know, I kind of have like a whole analysis that I do. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the first questions you have to ask is, how old are your receivables? Mm. Who is your customer? Who is your customer's customer? Because you almost have to look at it forensically. There's a reason why collection. Look, there's always going to be collections. I think I read a statistics like the average lawyer writes off $45,000 a year of time. It's unbelievable.
Really?
I read something just shocking.
So high.
It was one of the trade magazines. I forgot which one it was, but I almost fainted because I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Because if that's the case for lawyers who actually
right,
who know how to collect money or should be able to collect money, what about the dry
right.
cleaner and the consultants and the web guys and all the other people? And what I try to do is I go to a client's office because you want to see how their office works.
Mm-hmm.
Are they on top of their billing? Do the bills go out on time? Are they actually billing the right entity? Have they got the right paperwork? Are their contracts clear?
You know what's fascinating? I'm sorry to interrupt, but some of the items you're saying you would think are so fundamental. Like, are they billing the right person? I'm like, what? What are you talking about, Richard? If they're not billing the right person, how can they stay in business? You've seen cases where they're just not billing the right people?
Hundreds. They, you know, for example,
this is crazy.
Okay, you call someone and it's like Smith Company, but their real name is the Smith Holdings Group. Owned by, you know, the Smith Enterprise Institute, which is a Delaware corporation, or something else.
They're not billing the right entity.
Right, because no one actually sat down and actually looked up, like, for free, you can go to the New York State Department of State, for example, dos.ny.gov, and you can look up a business. There's a way to do it. It's all free. They don't ask for ID mm-hmm. or whatever, or an email. It's mm-hmm. just, and you want to see. And the basic information you will obtain is the official name of the business, their official Department of State address, the name, hopefully, of the chief executive officer, if the business has been around long enough, mm-hmm. the date of incorporation. And then you also, what you want to do, one of the tricks I have, is you want to see if there's a lot of similar names of the same business. Because what happens is when the Smith Enterprise Institute went bad, it became the Smith Economic Group. But then when they went bad because of a bad contract, they became the Smith Consulting Group. But they're all at the same address, the same suite, nice. And the same CEO. That's always a warning sign. You'll see business was formed in year X. Then a couple of years later, they changed their name. You know, they formed a new one, let the old one go, and then
but you know it's the same people because all the signs are there.
Now, one of the other things that I do mm-hmm. that I tell people is go to the New York State court system website, and you could look up entities and see if they've been sued. So if you see certain entities like the Smith Enterprise, you know, Institute, and they've been sued a lot for collection issues, contract disputes, whatever. I don't look at things like car accidents because a lot of companies have trucks and there's an issue because it was a car accident. That doesn't count. You want to see, you know, breach of contract, non-pay, things like that. And if you see that, that's almost a warning sign. Take out the red flags, you know, the lights and the sirens, because that means that there's a risk. Not necessarily, you know, a guaranteed risk,
right.
But it's a risk
that
you should be aware of. Right. Because if you look up, so what I always do with any credit situation, mm-hmm. I'll sit down with the credit manager and I'll say, okay, who's the client? And it's Smith. It's like, well, no, it's not really Smith. So let's get the right name. Because there's parents, there's subs, there's mm-hmm. affiliates, mm-hmm. or they have a trade name like Joe's Deli, but it's really more like the Flatbush Avenue food experience doing business as
right,
Joe's Deli, right?
Right?
So you end up sending a bill to Joe's Deli, but there's no Joe's Deli. Mm. It's the Flatbush Avenue, you know, gastronomic experience of Brooklyn, you know, LLC.
Well, it better be protected.
Right? So you want to see who you're dealing with.
Right.
You want to make sure the bills go out. You want to make sure that your bills are clear, that they say how you should be paid. You should be flexible in your payment acceptance operations. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I've noticed that, like with lawyers now, lawyers are now using more credit card intake. For a long time, accountants, CPAs, architects, all check people, you know,
right.
just whatever. But now, a lot of people say, well, you know, and there is an expense associated with credit cards. But on the other hand,
the money's in the account. Right.
Correct.
So let's say you're paying 2.5%, 3%, whatever 3.2, the percentage.
3.2, whatever it is.
But whatever percentage. It's worth it. You're paying the percentage to have the money, and in many cases up front.
Exactly. Or just, you know, sometimes you got to have the person with the debt, when they're ripe or they're ready, it's like, I'll send you a link.
Right.
Just give us a credit card and you're good. You want that because sometimes when things fester, it's no good. And the one thing you have to hear, and this is an important thing out there, the older the debt, the worse it is. It does, you know, when you give people time, it's not infinite. At some point, the debt becomes uncollectible, and it becomes legally uncollectible because at some point, in New York State at least, after 6 years of non-collection, that debt's done. Mm. You can't collect. The statute of limitations to collect upon it is done. So if you haven't started a lawsuit within the 6 years of the time that the debt was due, you're finished. And I can't tell you how many times people have shown me piles of invoices. This is 5 years old. This is 7 years old. This is 8 years old. And the first thing I say is, well, what happened with this? Oh, they never answered the phone. They never did this. They never did that. And I'm like, did you realize that after 6 years they knew that they didn't have to pay anymore? So let's take this pile and let's write this off.
You
need to be on top of your debt. You need to know who your clients are. You need to know why they're not paying. I'll give you one great story.
Sure.
So I represent a particular business, and somebody who's one in the receivables department says, X company never answers the phone. And I said, well, what's the debt? Oh, we did this and that, and they promised to pay. So I said, well, have you ever been there? No. When was the last time anybody visited the place to see what's going on? They just don't answer the phone. So no, you can't hide behind the mouse. You must get on your feet and go. So where are these people? And it turned out they were within 15 to 25 blocks of my client. So I asked the vice president of the company who was there, please, Joe, let's take a walk. So we take a walk, and lo and behold, in the space, the place is completely empty, and there's one guy putting stuff in boxes.
The last guy out.
So we're like, he's like, who are you? And we're like, oh, we're X.
Right.
And I said, well, who are you? He goes, well, we're the parent of the debtor. And they went out of business. And I'm kind of packing up their stuff because we're vacating the office. We have to leave in 2 more days. So at least we got his business card, which was vital information.
Wow.
And we worked out a deal, but we only got like 20 cents on the dollar.
But you got something. But if you had not made that visit, it was 0 cents on the dollar. Gone.
Because the typical pattern is you call, and then you get upset. You put it into collection, or you hire an attorney or something.
Right.
They put it through the machinery.
Right.
Yeah, 2 years later, 3 years later, you get a default judgment. And then somebody says, well, what do we do with this? And then they first look, and it's like, oh, these guys moved. They're out of business. There's nobody there. And you may have sued the wrong name. You know, so at least we found the parent. The parent was going to pay a little bit.
Right.
They recognized the problem.
Right.
But again, you need to really be actively on top of your receivables. People move. You got to make sure that you track people. It's a very mobile society. And a lot of businesses, you know, are run out of trucks by people, you know, using their cell phone
and
being mobile.
And that's their entity.
Yes.
That's their entity.
Because they're really not necessarily desk people or brick-and-mortar people.
Or what about with the explosion of people working through a WeWork or you know, they're not even this, you know, they could pick themselves up and move to another location on a snap of a finger.
Right. Imagine, you know, you're doing business as a vendor to a food truck and the food truck doesn't pay the food bill to the vendor. Well, how are you going to find them? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have some kind of address, but maybe it's just one of those mailbox rental places.
Nothing more than that.
Yeah, you know.
My guest this evening is Richard Solomon, and our subject tonight is macroeconomics for small businesses. What a critical subject. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Sol, Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client at Sol, Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Sol, Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Richard Solomon, and our subject is, am I actually making money? Macroeconomics for small businesses. Yes, a very, very important show. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. By Tuesday morning, the entire episode is up on mybradio.com and on the various channels. On a typical week, actually just recently, there were around 650 downloads in 1 week.
Wow.
So yeah, it gets quite a bit of, there were times it was over 1,000, so it gets a quite a bit of traction in addition to the many tens of thousands of listeners that 77 WABC gets. So Richard, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's truly a privilege to be here.
Thank you. Always exciting to have you on. By the way, just don't want to forget this opportunity, how can people find out more about everything that you do, your radio shows, your practice, and how can they get in touch with you?
The best way is thesolomonchannel.com is my Uber website.
Good, and everything's there.
And everything's there.
Your phone numbers and email addresses.
And I have a YouTube channel. I probably have over 300 episodes of my radio shows.
Amazing.
Which includes things like jumping on helicopters with the Navy and interviewing
rock stars
and great, you know, historians and things like that. And chefs and cooking. We do all kinds of cool stuff.
Wild stuff.
516-371-4924 when you're not calling for the injunction
right.
at 11:59.
Hours, right. Business hours. That was discussed earlier in the show in case you missed it. Richard, we have only around 6-7 minutes left.
So many topics, so little time.
Yeah, so little time. But let's pack it in. The listeners deserve it. And again, from the vantage point of a business making money, perhaps you could discuss, and I'm going to come at this from another angle than what we discussed earlier in the show, and that is, what other challenges does a business face? Okay, we discussed, you know, they have to make sure that they're generating revenue. Great. But what are some of the other challenges aside from they haven't paid attention to their legal fees, they didn't factor in their utility fees? What other challenges does a business have to factor in order to be successful?
I actually made a little list. One of the things that I see that's very challenging is the lack of creativity. Okay. Everybody's sort of just another bagel store with the same menu. And
commoditized? A commodity could mean something else also, but yeah, but they took out the energy and the creativity, which then doesn't make them unique.
Right. Now, look at your radio show. You know, there are business shows out there, but you have rich content, always new, always interesting viewpoints.
And we stay with one guest and we go through the topic in a deep way.
And some of that is reflected by fear of risk. A lot of people are so worried about the failures in business. And let me tell you, there will be failure. And failure is an important teacher. And it doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. You could have thought that a trend would have been a certain way, but something happened that you couldn't have predicted. You know, talk about the World Trade Center. No one could have predicted that 9/11 would have happened, right, and the devastating impact that had happened, not only on the terrible loss of life, but all the businesses in Lower Manhattan, right, that really suffered for so long. Right. And all the terrible illnesses and people,
right,
that
led, you know, suffering.
Right. So no one could have predicted that. So there could have been things that have happened that were beyond your control. Right. So don't focus on failure. Look at the positive. Get the right professionals to help you. And do the best you can. Get the greatest advice. Go to as much education. Listen to shows like this.
Thank you.
Great books. I also see, and this kind of goes hand in hand, no wow. You know, businesses today need a little wow. You know, your wow is, hey, I got, you know, the former chair of GE.
That's right.
Or I got the former president of this or that.
Right, right.
You know, or Joseph Abboud, you know,
right,
who's a, you know, a fashion person who,
right,
you know, you hear on WABC all the time, you
That's
know,
right,
in the mornings and
it's
his commercials.
Story.
And by the way, his commercials are very, very entertaining,
yeah,
to listen to. They're very personal. They're well,
yeah,
the copy's very good. The delivery's perfect. So as a radio person, I listen to his ads and I'm like, they're not even like ads. They're just little vignettes that are very interesting to hear.
Right.
Another thing that I see, poor management. There's not a lot of people who invest in training their managers. You know, they just sort of are given the role and they're almost expected to grow into that role. And people only get so much education, but then experience matters. And then you really need good management, people who will learn, who will be taught. We need mentoring, you know, and if I were to work for you and you say, Rich, go build a website. I'm like, I don't know how to do that.
Rich, not to build websites, but you're always welcome here.
Right. But I would actually need your mentoring,
right,
to learn how to do what you do.
Right. And then maybe means I have to factor in the time also that would take.
Right. But, you know, you'll say, all right, Rich, go make some sales calls, right? Well, I probably would need some mentoring on that,
right,
because I don't really have
know how to do it.
You know, that's not what I do. I mean, I understand market dynamics and,
right,
and sales pitch ideas, but maybe I'm not as good as I need to be, and I need to be nurtured in that.
Mm-hmm.
The one also, a big thing that I see that's very problematic is people think they can have remote control businesses. What do I mean by that? I can be an absentee landlord. I can have the managers run the business. I'll just show up and get my check. And it doesn't work that way. You need to be on top of your business. I think you need to be elbow to elbow with people. I see too many people trying to have businesses where they telecommute and this and that. And I've actually had businesses that had that as a rampant social structure. And I would say, this needs to end. All right,
wow,
maybe on Fridays in the summer, fine. But you know what? We need to have everybody come together. We need to work as a team. It needs to be more formal. It needs to be expected. It has to be part of the corporate culture. And the people who own the business need to be in charge of the business.
Yeah.
And I know there are plenty of people out there who are working night and day and doing that. But you'd be surprised from my viewpoint how many people are like, no, I'll open up a pizzeria. I'll have, you know, a counter person and then a pizza person and this and that. And then it'll make money. And on every Tuesday, I'll just go to the bank.
Clean the register, yeah.
You know, but there's
work like
but
that.
You know what? You have to check the menu. You got to check your supplies. Are you getting the best deals? Is there someone across the street going to make a competing business? Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a competing pizza business, but any other food business within,
right,
a block or two.
That is a competition.
Right.
Because
what are you doing to check,
right,
your pricing?
Right.
What are you doing for promotions? What are you doing to make your pizza special?
Right.
What kind of marketing and advertising campaigns, coupons, whatever,
right,
are you doing? Because if you just sit back, an inertia is going to set in of complacency and blandness.
That's right. And that will sink a business.
And people don't want boring businesses.
No.
You know, if you look at all the successful businesses out there, what do? They touch your emotions. They are fast. They,
right,
give you what you want. You know, you look at all the things that,
right,
you in your own daily life, the businesses and services that you gravitate to. Why do you do that? They're doing something right. And then why are you picking those businesses over somebody else? It's because they're doing the right things.
Richard, the time flies. The time flies. What an amazing show. And I want to remind the listeners that it will be up by Tuesday morning at mybradio.com. That's where you can hear this entire show, which is all about macroeconomics for small businesses. Am I actually making money? We have around 30 seconds left. Any quick takeaway?
Hire the best professionals you can find. You know, the legal people, the accounting people, the financial people, marketing professionals. There's so much great advice that's out there. Don't be afraid to harness it, because nobody's an island anymore. And invest at, the greatest investment in yourself is education. Go to the classes, listen to podcasts. There's content everywhere. And listen to shows like this. and mine,
Richard.
Too.
Richard Solomon. Yes, Richard said you can find out more about him by visiting thesolomonchannel.com. Thesolomonchannel.com. Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Safliff, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Safliff.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.